So my name is Suchit Dash. I'm the co-founder of a company called I Feel Goods. We basically distribute Facebook credits as a reward when customers shop online. So in lieu of giving a coupon or a rebate or a discount, we'll do things like buy flowers on 1-800-Flowers for Valentine's Day and get 25 Facebook credits. And we do this because we see that the average user of these Facebook credits is a 43-year-old mom who plays Farmville. And it's actually smack in the middle of what an online shopper is, a standard online shopper. So we see a great blend of that. We work with over 70 to 80 of the top 200 retailers, work with folks like Walmart, Coca-Cola, Universal, Netflix, and work very closely, obviously, with Facebook to be able to distribute the currency on our platform.
And I'm Dean Alms. I'm co-founder of a company called Million Eye. We are a social entertainment platform. So we are the company that launched The Dark Knight 1 year ago at this time at South By. And we basically help companies, where Suchit's company basically helps distribute Facebook credits. We help movie companies and other producers consume those credits so that you can watch movies, so that you can attend live concert events, as well as other types of events in the very near future. So we have written a white paper on Facebook credits that goes into about a dozen pages or so of information about the consumption of Facebook credits, as well as the distribution of Facebook credits, with examples from I Feel Goods, as well as Million Eye properties and other properties. So that's at millioneye.com website if you want to download that white paper.
Thanks, guys. Representatives from Facebook couldn't be here. They recently filed for an IPO, which means they're in a mandated quiet period right now and can't talk about future monetization, which is exactly what this panel is about. We're going to go over what the future potential is for Facebook credits as it expands beyond games and into things like entertainment and other interesting areas. So just to get a sense of kind of who we have here in the audience, so we can better tailor our conversation to you guys, do we have any game developers? Raise your hand. Have a game developer who might be familiar with Facebook credits. Anybody who is, I guess, another developer, maybe mobile apps or a developer on another platform? Okay, that's good. And anybody who has bought anything with Facebook credits before? Okay, have a few here. And then people who couldn't imagine giving Facebook your credit card. all right, so for the people unfamiliar, could maybe Dean, we'll have you start because you just penned that white paper. Tell us, what are credits? What can you buy with them?
Sure. The simple short answer is Facebook credits is a virtual currency for the Facebook platform. And that Facebook credits, you basically can purchase or you can acquire them through loyalty programs, and they're worth 10 cents, approximately 10 cents per credit. And then people can use those primarily for gaming today. North of 90% of Facebook credits are used for the gaming industry today, and then all the other apps fall into the remaining, you know, less than 10%. Facebook credits is a global currency, meaning that it is, I believe, up to 47 different currencies, maybe more by now, can be translated into Facebook credits.
Right. Suchit, can you tell us a little bit more about how people can acquire Facebook credits, both for purchasing them and through other means?
Sure. So generally, users can actually purchase Facebook credits. The conversion is one Facebook credit equals 10 cents. It's pegged against the U.S. dollar. In other countries, like in Europe, it's actually a fluctuating exchange rate associated with it. So the traditional method is users will actually purchase credits and then use those to spend them on their favorite games or, for instance, on movies like The Dark Knight. We also provide the ability to actually give earned Facebook credits when doing different things online. Like, for instance, we'll work with Walmart.com, and when you try out their Facebook application, they'll give you as a reward 10 free Facebook credits. What we have found kind of through this process is that the value of the stored balance of having these earned Facebook credits is very advantageous for game developers because you're essentially having a new user with credits in their account that they can use use to ultimately spend on their games. Facebook has also made it very easy that if you're, for instance, on Zynga's Farmville and you actually want to purchase a purple cow, as an example, they will simply just you can click to buy it, and then they'll automatically convert it into Facebook credits and then into the actual digital good that you ultimately want to buy.
Some of you guys might remember Facebook credits from when you were first able to use them in 2008 to buy virtual gifts for your friends. You could buy, whether it was a bouquet of flowers or a teddy bear or something, and put it on your friend's wall. And that started in 2008, went to about 2010, and they closed that gift shop. But in the middle, in 2009, they opened it up and allowed developers to let users use credits to buy virtual goods inside their games. And then it wasn't until just last year that they made it mandatory across all games to require those developers to use Facebook credits. And maybe, Dean, you could tell us a little bit about why they required that, what Facebook gets out of developers using credits.
Sure. So just as a way of background, Facebook credits are mandatory now, as we all know, for virtual goods. And so Facebook takes a 30% cut on all virtual goods purchased on their platform. So that's in the virtual goods arena. In digital goods, slight variation on that, whether it's music, live concerts, movies, et cetera, they are not mandatory that you use Facebook credits. They are preferred by Facebook, obviously, but certainly not mandatory. So you can use PayPal, you can use credit cards, et cetera. And then finally, on physical goods, Facebook credits are not allowed. So if you wanted to buy a T-shirt, hat, or any other type of physical good, you really cannot use Facebook credits for physical goods. You can use Facebook credits to buy coupons, which in turn could be used to buy physical goods, but you can't directly purchase physical goods using Facebook credits. So what's in it for Facebook is, number one, they wanted to help monetize the platform that they built out, so the 30% credit fee, but it also wanted to, I believe, inspire more games by allowing a more unified, simplified credit mechanism out there, a currency, rather than each game developer building out their own currency and creating a lot of overhead and friction in terms of people using these many, many different games that are out there today.
Just wanted to build on that. What we've seen also is that before Facebook credits and the Facebook payment system, so I think we should be distinct in terms of how we actually phrase them. Facebook credits is the actual virtual currency. Facebook payments is essentially the payment flow, where it's a universal sort of flow across game developers. They did this because, so in my previous life, I worked at PayPal and worked on the integration basically with Facebook. It was like the Wild West. Essentially, every game developer had a completely different experience when they're going through and actually making it, when a user goes through and makes the payment, and it made it very difficult. I think they were inspired by Apple, as an example, where it's a unified experience across the platform, and as a result of that, they said, hey, to be able to harness and make sure that everyone has that similar experience, we need to create a mechanism to allow for everyone to simply not only track so that we can get 30% on our commission, but also have an extremely unified experience from a payment experience standpoint. And as a result of doing that, they announced the change and then made it mandatory last year in July.
It makes a lot of sense, and it does simplify things for developers in some ways, though I do know that a lot of game developers are frustrated with Facebook taking that 30% cut after the fact. Though it is a standard across the industry, like Apple taking 30% of iOS, mm-hmm. Things like that. What do you think the reasons are that Facebook didn't make the credits mandatory across all apps? Right now it's just games and not things like Spotify and other apps that are monetizing.
So my perspective is, I think it's just, it's volume. So ultimately they saw over 90% or 95% almost of all of the volume really going through the game. And so as digital goods and as virtual goods just took off on the Facebook platform, Facebook realized that, hey, we need to make sure to get kind of in there. Now, if, for instance, other applications, examples include dating applications, like things like OkCupid, which is really taking off, other areas, some of the F-commerce stuff, and And in those spaces, as they start growing, I think Facebook will probably start to make it mandatory to do so. But I think they're taking more of a structured approach. I think examples of now with their Open Graph integrations with folks like Spotify and Hulu, there is potential in the future for when people want to subscribe on Spotify or subscribe on Hulu to actually have Facebook credits being the mechanism to be able to actually pay for that. But creating a subscription-based credit system is actually not super trivial. It's actually relatively difficult to do. So I think they're going to need to do a lot of technical work and integration to make that happen.
Yeah, I would agree. And in addition, I think while gaming has been well established, some of the other digital goods that are being put out there, whether it is movies, live concerts, live sporting events, that's still just getting going. And I think if Facebook put a 30% tax on something that early, it would discourage innovation and investment in that area. So I think for now, they're going to see how that plays out before they start to take more of a mandatory versus an optional approach to using Facebook credits there.
Dean, can you maybe tell us a little bit more then about the type of industries and businesses that are opting into using credits and what they've found over this past year of doing that?
Sure. So a couple of, from our own experience, when we launched The Dark Knight from Warner Brothers last year, they went exclusively Facebook credits. They have the option of doing PayPal, and they have the option of doing credit cards as well, but they went out exclusively with Facebook credits. Universal followed a couple of months later with us, and they too went with Facebook credits only. Since then, we've signed up 14 different studios, and I would say a third of them use Facebook credits only. A third use a combination of credits, PayPal, and credit cards, and the other third won't take Facebook credits because they don't want to pay the 30% tax. So we're really seeing a cross, experimentation with the use of credits and other payment mechanism for digital goods on Facebook. One experience that we had that, is certainly eye-popping is when we do live concerts that have global licensing rights, one thing nice about using Facebook credits, and we've done this a couple of times now, we will literally get concert viewers from around the world. And because it's a very simplified one price for, Facebook credits around the world from what they can advertise. So a particular concert, for example, went for 50 Facebook credits. We had participants from over 64 countries come in and watch that concert. And it made it very easy for us to roll it out on a global basis. And we've seen that happen multiple times now. So that's, part of what we're seeing out there is experimentation with the digital goods companies, with Facebook credits. They understand, that Facebook credits are a big part of reaching that nearly $1 billion mark or billion person marketplace, if you will. And some of them are willing to accept that tax. Others are resistant. And I think, we'll continue to see that play out for the rest of this year.
On the user side, how much does it cost to watch a streaming concert or to rent a movie on Facebook right
now? Sure. And it's up to the individual studios and promoters. So when Dark Knight came out, that went for 30 Facebook credits or $3. We've done concerts for 50 Facebook credits or $5. We do have the Bob Marley movie coming out, same day and date release as when it goes live to the theaters, and that's on April 20th, 420, is going to be the Bob Marley movie, and that's going to go out, I believe, for $7. It may go out for $10. They're still trying to factor in what exactly the price point is going to be.
Suchit, how many credits typically can somebody earn for completing different offers?
So what we've found in kind of the thesis around our company was oriented around the fact that people hate paying for digital goods. So how many of you guys have an iPhone? Okay, literally everyone.
Yeah.
And how many of you guys, when you see a 99-cent application, you cringe and you're like, it's okay. I know I do. I do it all the time. And it's so odd because basically I'll go and give a tip to a cab driver with a dollar and not even think about it. Same exact value, just a completely different perception oriented around it. What we found was that when you give a digital reward, like 5 Facebook credits as an example, they see that as being worth more than 50 cents. It's a really weird perception that they have of when they earn it for free, they place a much higher value associated with that. So we have many of our clients, for instance, for subscribing to their email newsletter, they'll give 5 Facebook credits or 50 cents. And we call them micro incentives, and it's pioneered this whole new industry where a lot of our retail partners, Netflix, Coca-Cola, are all using really, really low value of incentives, like 5 Facebook credits to 10 Facebook credits, and actually seeing a tremendous uptick because users are really attracted to these types of incentives and offers. And so typically we range from giving 5 Facebook credits, which is usually the lowest. We even give 1 Facebook credit at some point, and that's actually worked as well. Going all the way up to 250 Facebook credits, like $25. We work with, as an example, the PayPal MasterCard and eBay MasterCard, and people will convert their entire points balance on their PayPal MasterCard into Facebook credits, like $1,000 plus worth of it, which is crazy, but I mean, they're doing it. So we see it all across the board.
So with some of these films and experiences that you were talking about, Dean, they cost a little bit more than, you know, renting The Dark Knight for $3, when if you already have a Netflix account or you go to the Red Box and get it for $1. What are some of the incentives and ways that studios are getting people to watch that content on Facebook as opposed to elsewhere?
Right, and that's a great question. Why watch it on Facebook when you can go down to the store and pick up the DVD for $1 or whatever the case may be? What the studios have done working with us is created a very social watching experience. You're not just watching the movie, but while you're watching the movie, you can make comments. And while you're making those comments, it'll remember the exact point in time you commented on the movie. And so if one of your friends or another fan of the movie comes in and watches it, they'll see your comments at a point in time. In addition, the studios have made clips and quotes and other social features available while you're watching the movie. So we have The Big Lebowski, for example, and while you're watching The Big Lebowski, one of the most quotable movies of all time, you will see various quotes pop up, the dude abides, you can share that with your friends, and it starts to create a viral effect. Or they'll have a short, you know, 20, 30 second clip, and you can share that. So they're really making a social experience there. Recently, Lionsgate came out with Abduction, and if you did answer a couple of quiz questions, they then followed that up with some exclusive content with Taylor Lautner, their big star of that movie. And, of course, a lot of young teenage girls wanted that, and certainly we saw a lot of great reaction to people doing that. But I think the key thing is not just making the movie available on Facebook, but surrounding it with exclusive content. One of the new features that we've seen take off in a big way is what we call celebrity cinema. So while you're watching the movie, you're actually chatting real time with either the director or an actor from the movie. We did the Blues Brothers concert just a week ago Monday, and Dan Aykroyd and John Landis were a part of the community commenting on it. And at first, they're very tentative. They don't want to put anything out there. But as soon as they do, they see comments come in from around the world, and that gets them excited, and they start to do more. And by the end of it, the actor and the director are more excited about participating this way than even the fans themselves. So I think those are the types of things that are making this more than just a viewing experience, but truly a social experience while you're watching movies, live concerts, and other events.
I think you were telling me about another integration where you could throw popcorn at your friends as they watch movies.
That's right. Yeah, we're coming out with a new set of features called Social Antics. And, you know, as you were a young kid going to the theater, what would you do? You'd kick your friend's chair or you would throw popcorn at him. Well, we're doing the same thing from a virtual perspective where you can literally pick a friend that's watching the movie with you, hit the popcorn button, and it'll throw it up on the screen and fall down. Or you can kick his chair and this movie, the screen will shake. Or there's a number of other things you can simulate, his cell phone going off. So there's all these antics. Once again, you've probably seen the movie 4 or 5 times by the time you've watched it on Facebook. Now you're just playing along with the overall experience.
Yeah, sounds like the type of thing for like a Rocky Horror picture
exactly.
show type integration there.
That's the comment we always get. When are you going to do Rocky Horror?
Yeah. So it sounds like the key here is to not just put your digital library up on Facebook,
right,
but to do something different. Seems like another reason why people might choose to watch things on Facebook and spend credits as opposed to another platform would be if they have credits in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Sucha, could you tell us a little bit more about what exactly some of those offers people are completing and, you know, what users seem to take to?
Sure. So our ability is that we are a digital goods platform where we can incentivize across any action. So what that means is that whether you make a purchase, sign up for a newsletter, check into a location, literally anything, because you can actually give someone 2, 3, 4 Facebook credits, any action can actually be incentivized. And we've seen our clients using a number of different ways to ultimately incentivize them. One example is we worked with Universal Pictures for this movie, Tower Heist, which wasn't a particularly great movie, but they basically did, the whole thesis of the movie was that they actually heisted $1 million or something like that. And as a corollary, what they did 3 weeks leading up to the movies, they distributed 1 million Facebook credits via their Facebook page doing different actions. So it was like a scavenger hunt. They essentially submitted stories. They did a bunch of different types of gamification elements kind of through the process. They went through those 1 million credits within 3 weeks, created basically 250 million impressions on the newsfeed as a result of this, generated over 300,000 new likes kind of leading up to the event. And so users are really engaging in a very, very new way. And the key thing that we see is every time they receive a digital good like Facebook credits, they're sharing it with their friends roughly about 70% of the time. And that incrementally brings in 30% of users to come back and complete the action. So it drastically lowers the CPA value for many of these clients of ours, as well as we'll see that if you do any Facebook advertising today, because we actually have the capabilities of targeting users that have used Facebook credits in the past, we'll see 2 to 3 times higher click-through rates than if you do $5 versus 50 Facebook credits as your incentive. So users are getting all of these credits and then ultimately using to spend them. What we see is that what's interesting is that when you have a stored balance, people ultimately don't view that as really being like money that, you know, they almost view it like gift certificate money. So as an example, even in the past at PayPal, every time someone would actually get money from someone who just paid them back for lunch, they viewed that as like gift certificate money that they can just pay on any retailer site and not really money that they would withdraw out of the system. And I think Facebook's goal is to do the same thing with Facebook credits, is that you create a closed loop system where essentially people can earn currency and then also deposit it on different things and keep that all within the system. And there's huge benefits from an interchange perspective on this, as well as just transaction fees on this as well.
So let's start to get you guys brainstorming a little bit. I'm sure you guys have thought a lot about this. What are some of those other ways that we can, or that companies and Facebook itself could sort of gamify credits in this way and start to use them more as rewards? Dean, I think you had some ideas.
I did.
This idea of credits as being the frequent flyer miles of our time.
Yeah, I think just as Suchis was saying, just as you accumulate all of these loyalty rewards like you do with frequent flyer miles today, and you often use them for travel after you've accumulated those miles, but you can certainly use them for other types of gifts. Facebook credits will be accumulated in the same way. You'll accumulate these, quote, miles, these credits, and then you'll be able to use them for online entertainment, whether that online entertainment is games, whether it's movies, whether it's concerts, sporting events, and the like. You build up these miles, and pretty soon, just as we do today, we will start looking for those companies that are offering those miles. We'll be start looking for those brands that will offer Facebook credits because I want to accumulate more and more. And the brands are very interested in doing it. Just as Sucha mentioned, it's a much more economical way to reward loyalty to provide credits than it is to provide maybe many other types of incentive programs. So I think, you know, we're going to start to see many, many ways that companies, innovative companies like those here, will start to figure out how to make Facebook credits even that much more powerful. Certainly, we see a lot of shows, reality shows and the like, where voting is a part of the process, and maybe Facebook credits will be used for those types of things. Second screen is becoming a bigger and bigger deal out there these days, and having a tool where you can interact with your TV, many of us do it today, whether we have an iPad in front of us or a phone or whatever, we're interacting with the TV with that second screen. I think Facebook credits will likely become a part of that overall experience as well.
You guys heard about this company, Plink?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
About that?
Absolutely. We're also working in sort of a similar space as well, where essentially, you know, if you have a credit card, as an example, you can simply use it and gain Facebook credits every single time you make up to $5 of a purchase, as an example. The reason, just to talk a little bit about why it's actually interesting, it's there's 290 million players that play on a monthly basis these games. And so it's a huge audience, 290 million. We see about 41% of basically users on Facebook engaging in a game on a monthly basis as well. So even though what we always tell our clients is you're probably not the ones who are actually playing it, but your customers are. And as a result of that, you need to tap into the incentive that they're most likely to use. And what we've seen is that people are getting more and more inundated with offers, incentives. I mean, every morning I wake up, I get 10 emails from all these daily deals and everything. And I don't know why I don't hit unsubscribe on them, but I still get them. And what's happening is that customers believe that 50% off is basically the best offer that they should be getting each and every time. Whereas, you know, it's sort of the new 10%. And what's happening is that many of these retailers and brands are really hurting from a margin perspective. So they need a more effective incentive. And ultimately, when you can tap into the emotional value of a customer as they're playing the game, not necessarily willing, you're getting a lot of innovation kind of coming in the space, because people want to start rewarding customers using different mechanisms. And Facebook credits is a great example of how it can almost recreate the loyalty platform that people are seeing in financial services, in the airline industry, and we're getting a lot of inbound requests kind of for things like that.
Right. So we have companies like, you know, Suchet's I Feel Good, which is rewarding people through these offers. There's a company called Plink out there that just started a loyalty program where you can earn credits for going to real-world establishments like Taco Bell or things like that, and for however much you spend, you earn credits back. Facebook at one time experimented, I don't know if you guys remember this, with being able to send credits to your friend, very small, tiny amounts, 10 credits maybe, like 10 cents. At the time, it was a different conversion rate. But for what your friends posted, so if a friend posted a video you really liked or answered your question or something like that, Facebook doesn't do that anymore. But those are different options that I think Facebook could return to, or it sounds like developers could put into their own apps and games and things like that.
So my perspective on that is that I don't think they would do it again, and it was just because there's a huge money laundering issue that can come into play with that. And so what happens is essentially you're going to get customers who will be able to send it to their friends, create fake Facebook profiles. I recently saw a stat that was like 5 or 6% of all Facebook profiles today are fake. And so there's a huge issue kind of there, which we actually work on quite a bit, is that every time we're giving out a currency, we need to ensure that user is the right user. So we've developed 200 to 250 custom fraud filters to understand on social data whether that user is the right user or someone who is ultimately deserves to get the credit. And so I think the challenge that Facebook is going to see is that it's going to be really challenging for them to do a P2P currency, just because of the fact that there's a lot of issues from being able to translate kind of these credits from one to the other and not creating a completely almost black market where credits are going through and you know, users are actually kind of abusing the system through the process.
Right, absolutely. And so credits right now, there is a lot of demand in the game space. But as far as demand from a wider audience of people, who are these people who are going to want to sign up for these loyalty programs to earn credits? So it's really going to depend on the content that's out there. Dean, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about what is available. How many films are available for streaming on Facebook right now?
Sure. Today, Million Eye, like I mentioned, we work with 14 different studios, and we have about 125 titles available on Facebook today, a small fraction of what Netflix, Amazon, or the rest of them do have on Facebook today. But nonetheless, that number will grow into the thousands by the end of this year. So they're all have been through their pilot phase now and are pushing out their portfolio of movies to us and to others. There's a couple of other companies that are doing the same thing that we do, which is putting movies on Facebook, and companies like Paramount have rolled their own. They've done their own process there. But I think you'll continue to see more and more movies on Facebook. You'll see more and more live concerts. We've signed up with two different producers of live concerts. Each of them have signed up to do 50 live events over the course of the next 12 to 18 months. So we're going to see a lot more of that, and we'll also see a lot more sporting events. And it may not be your top-tier basketball, football events from colleges, but it could be lacrosse, it could be swimming, it could be water polo, all of these second-tier events that have huge followings but simply cannot, you know, be an ESPN-like program. You're going to see Facebook becoming a channel for those types of events as well.
I think I heard that the beer pong championship tournament was on Facebook.
Yeah, it was one of our very first sporting events was beer pong live out of Las Vegas, and certainly that was an interesting endeavor. By the time they had been there for 4 days and drinking all afternoon, it was an editing nightmare to make sure that the MGM in Las Vegas wasn't held liable for some of the language and antics that took place there. It was a lot of fun, and you know, thousands of people came in to watch a live beer pong event. So if we can get that many people at a beer pong event, imagine what we can get at some of these other sporting events. So we're going to start to see more and more of that. I think ESPN announced that they're going to be providing some of the conference finals via Facebook as well. So I don't think there's going to be a shortage of it. And, you know, one thing I always like to think about when anybody ever asks, you know, do you play social games? Do you play games on the internet or Facebook? And I always never raise my hand. But if you think about what's going on this week and the next 3 weeks, how many play March Madness pools? That is the number one game of the business world. And therefore, I think you're going to start to see people, you know, offering up, you know, play my March Madness and I'll give you 500 Facebook credits to the winner type of thing. And it's not a gambling thing because you're not putting credits in, but you're going to start to see brands take advantage of the number one game in America, which is the March Madness pool.
Right. Okay. All right. Sorry, guys.
Talk louder.
At least me.
Oh.
Sorry.
Just that one there.
So another thing I wanted to bring up that, Dean, certainly MillionEye is one of the companies that's helping to get more content onto Facebook. And from Facebook's side, there hasn't really been a push yet for this. Facebook's really been focused on getting these new applications on Facebook, working with Spotify and Hulu, number of other apps to integrate with Timeline and Open Graph and things like this. What do you think, what's the timing before they really start getting these companies to understand how they can now implement payments or, you know, credits, to start using credits and monetize those apps once they're on the platform?
Sure. So, I would say that I think Facebook does a lot of things very deliberately. I think they'll sort of take their time before they really do it. And a lot of times they can be sometimes reactive, which means that I think they'll see that if commerce starts to really pick up and users are actually wanting to sign up for services like Spotify within the Facebook experience, I think they'll probably look to then retroactively mandate to ensure that the users are going to go through a credits experience or credits flow, or at least a Facebook payments experience. So I think that, you know, I sort of see that probably within, you know, I don't want to put a number on it, but I don't see it like right away happening. I do potentially see that as it starts picking up heavily in the Open Graph features that it seems like it really is, and Spotify starts to really integrate for new users to sign up or Hulu's new users to sign up within Facebook and actually put in their payment instrument all within the Facebook experience, I could see Facebook then kind of turning the tide and actually having them integrate credits through there.
Yeah. I mean, from our perspective, we're hoping the day after the IPO, they do a lot better a job of marketing Facebook credits than they do today. You know, God love Facebook for all they've done in a very short period of time, but they do need to step up marketing Facebook credits and what the benefits are for both the user side of the equation, why I would want to use Facebook credits versus something else if I have an option, and then more importantly right now from a merchant side of the equation. Many merchants out there today are just in the dark in terms of what they mean, how you go about using them, what they have to be, you know, what are the issues about using them, and so I think, you know, Facebook has plenty to do right now. There's no doubt about it. But if they really want this program to take off to the next level, I think they are going to have to do more to create awareness. We have a booth out in the South by Southwest trade show there, and still 99 out of 100 people come by and say, you can watch movies on Facebook. So there's really no big push for anything other than games right now on Facebook, and I think that's going to need to change for them to reap the rewards of getting digital content available in many, many people's hands.
What apps and what types of industries do you think are best suited to take advantage of credits, start selling through Facebook?
Yeah, so I think any digital content, just given the 30% markup that Facebook currently provides, are the ones that are the most ripe to do it. So I think the challenge is, if you are selling a tangible good where you have actual margins associated with it, 30% just doesn't work. Most credit card interchange fees are 2 to 3%, if that. So I think the challenge will be is really the ones that are actually doing it are subscription-based services, as an example. Dating apps, I think, are really picking up. And there's probably some areas there that you can do it. I think some of the digital content, like music and other things, you can actually be able to do it. So if you were to, in the future, to be able to buy MP3s, as an example, within the Facebook ecosystem, Facebook credits would be a good opportunity to be able to do that. So really, anything digital, I think, is the most ripe area as of where Facebook credits and their what they stand today. In the future, I think everyone likes to think of a world where, hey, you can actually be able to use Facebook credits and purchase real tangible items. They're going to need to make some changes in terms of the margins and everything and the fees that they do today to do that.
Do you think that credits, whether it's selling and buying things with credits, makes more sense for some of these bigger payments, your $10.99 a month, things like that, or lots of microtransactions like individual songs, or could you even see it being used for news payments or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's much more for the microtransactions. And I would say the evidence of that is in gaming. The average gamer is going to spend roughly, each item is between sort of $2 to $4 or so, and roughly, on a monthly basis, kind of the whales of sort of gaming are usually, spending $30 to $40 or so kind of on a monthly basis. So it's not a tremendously high value kind of things. That being said, though, I think I've seen reports of people, having really, really high virtual items, like $100, and people actually buying them. But I think that generally it's kind of catering to more of the microtransactions.
Mm-hmm. Dean, do you have any thoughts about...
Yeah, no, I would totally agree. I think it is geared more towards the micropayments. And, from a movie industry perspective right now, what they're facing is an unbelievable drop-off in DVD sales. And so what they used to be selling for $10, $15, $20, while there has been a movement to Blu-ray, it's still nowhere near, what people used to spend to watch a movie. Now they're going to Redbox and spending a dollar, or they got the subscription service from Netflix. And so the movie industry wants to counter with coming up with a digital ownership model where you buy your movie and it sits in the cloud. So whether you're here in Austin or on the road in San Francisco, wherever the case may be, you can watch that movie wherever you are. So I think they're going to try to push the price point higher and push for digital ownership versus rental, which they do today.
I think there's something interesting when you combine kind of what both of you are doing, and you think about brands working with something like I Feel Goods to incentivize and provide offers to basically give users credits, and then have those users then spend those credits on things like films or, concerts, music, things like that. You have this new dynamic where, brands are, I guess, subsidizing some of these industries in a whole new way. And I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and they are more than ready to do it. If you think about it, there are many brands out there today that are allocating double-digit percentages of their budget on social media advertising and the like. But they don't have a good way to spend it today. I mean, if you're not buying Facebook ads, how do you really spend your social media dollars in a very convenient, same way that you used to do with TV advertising and the like? And I think entertainment provides a great way, whether it's gaming, movies, concerts, music, provides a great way for them to introduce this as the way they're going to spend their sponsorship and marketing dollars in social media.
Right. If you think about, you know, the Tower Heist promotion, imagine a lot of those people went and then used those credits to buy virtual goods and games. But if you start making that association between earning credits for completing some offer or participating in a contest and then spending those credits on the item that you're promoting, starts to kind of close that loop.
Yeah, what we do is a lot of times on the brands that we work with is we won't just say get 25 Facebook credits. We'll say get 25 Facebook credits to use on to watch a movie or to play on Farmville. You need to provide the actual what you're going to do with the currency. The currency itself, as it stands today, is, as we were sort of mentioning, is not marketed, in our opinion, sort of well enough to kind of stand on its own. But rather, everyone knows and understands the Zynga games and understands a lot of the other things that you can use. And many times we use through the brands, you know, the ability for the customer to take those credits and then deposit them. We did a survey very early on where we found that customers, as soon as they earned their credits, within 2 to 3 days, basically we saw around 60 to 70% of customers spending their credits and redeeming it, which is extremely high in comparison to other incentive offers that are given in the ecosystem today. So there's a lot of value that I think the customers who earn are seeing kind of through the system.
You guys both touched on some of the infrastructure issues that Facebook needs to deal with, perhaps instituting a way that apps can receive subscription payments using credits and things like that. There's certainly things on the merchant side and the user side as far as awareness and all of that. One of the issues that we haven't addressed are some of the regulatory issues that are associated with being a payments business. Sujit, with your experience on PayPal, maybe you could talk a bit about what Facebook is dealing with there.
Yeah, sure. So I think so there's a lot of challenges kind of in the space. I think, so for instance, they recently actually submitted, I think, to 15 states that were publicly available money transmitter licenses, which basically allows for them to almost act as a bank. And it's similar to PayPal, Capital One, any of these basically banks file for that. And you have to do it on a state-by-state level. So I think they're starting the work kind of around that. I think the challenges are going to occur that if, for instance, you're outside of the Facebook ecosystem, the huge advantage that they do have is that they have the Facebook Connect button, which is widely adopted today. So if, for instance, you see on a shopping cart page on Amazon.com, as an example, or Walmart.com, you'll see, hey, buy this item for $50, and you can either log in using your PayPal account or Facebook Connect, and you click Facebook Connect, I mean, there's a tremendous number of people that are automatically logged into Facebook. If they have your credit card information, that process can be almost a 1 to 2 click experience, which is pretty awesome. Now, the challenge with it is that if you use Facebook credits as the mechanism to do it, there's a lot of issues when it comes to shipping, tax, all of these things in terms of how you actually break it down. How do you manage cents in this scenario, for instance, right? And so if it's, how do you manage on like, you know, $1.25, because they only have today, you know, 10 cents, 20 cents as kind of the increments. So do you round up in that scenario? The other thing that's going to be a challenge is many times having the customer, when they're going through it, normally, a credit card processor will do an authorization and then do a capture at the end of the flow when they actually want to pull the funds. If you're doing an instant transfer of these Facebook credits, there's a lot of issues with chargebacks that can occur as well. And so I think Facebook knows this. Frankly, most of the credits teams are my ex-colleagues at PayPal. So I think they understand it, and they're going through the process right now and probably going to figure out sort of what happens after that.
Thanks. So before we open it up to questions, I just want to ask you guys, maybe start with Dean, what do you think is the biggest hurdle for credits becoming really widely adopted? Is it on the user side and awareness? Is it developers and merchants seeing the benefit and getting over that 30% hurdle? Or is it regulatory and just Facebook?
Yeah, I think,
Facebook side?
You know, clearly one of the top hurdles for anyone outside of virtual goods, whether it's digital goods or physical goods, the 30% charge is insurmountable for many. Obviously, in the physical goods space, they don't even have that kind of profit margins to allocate 30% to Facebook. And the same could be said for many digital products. So that's going to be one of the biggest hurdles. If that should be solved in some way, shape, or form, there's still, the whole process and the understanding of it. Facebook, up to this point, has grown organically without any user manual or anything else. People know how to get on Facebook and start to interact with it. Once you start getting into payment mechanisms and things of that nature, it does require more effort. And I think merchants, to be able to adopt it on the wide-scale basis that we're talking about here, are going to need more infrastructure support on adoption.
Yeah, Suchet, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so I agree with Dean on that. I would say that there's a challenge in marketing that they definitely need to address. I think they also, Facebook is at such a scale now where any change that they do, they need to see a tremendous amount of volume occur. And so I think they need to see larger volumes and revenues kind of in all parts of the industry. They initially went very hard into the gaming industry and said everyone needs to switch to Facebook credits right away. That should be the universal currency. There should be no in-game currency. They recently sort of backed off from that and were sort of saying, hey, you can still have your own currency, but we strongly recommend sort of Facebook credits kind of in the process. So I think the challenge is that Facebook is still figuring this whole thing out, and they changed things very quickly and affect players like us in the ecosystem. And so it can be frustrating at points, but I think that there's still going to be some challenges there. I think Facebook will need to kind of reevaluate and figure it out, and I think that's the biggest hurdle for them.
Do we have questions from anybody in the audience? You can just step up to the mic. Get in line.
Yeah, question for you. I'm currently working for a large consumer products company that's putting together packages that you can only buy through Facebook, through a live experience, basically. And we're going to be testing out giving Facebook credits as part of that package. Any sort of advice here do you have on that?
Yeah, sure. Do you know roughly how much the cost of the package is?
The package is going to be about $50, and we're thinking about giving
50
credits.
Yeah, so I think generally the rule of thumb that we use is think about what you would normally use as a percentage off of your that you'd normally give as a discount, and then convert that value essentially into credits. And then you can actually go a little bit lower, because a lot of time the perceived value we've tested, like giving 25 versus 50 versus 75, you can actually even play to a little bit of a lower value as well. And definitely let me know afterward if we can do anything to help.
One other comment just based on his question. I think, in generally speaking, the best way to think about selling in the Facebook environment is not doing that hard direct sell. You should always be thinking about rewarding your customers, and just like you're doing here. You're giving them exclusive deals. It doesn't always have to be a discount, but think about how you are rewarding your fan base, and that's usually going to play best. So it can be exclusive content. It could be, buy only here, first to get the product, or whatever the case may be, but rewarding your fans is the best way to go in order to get traction in this market.
Absolutely.
So do you know if it's possible or how it's possible to become a Facebook credit reseller? I know they've got four issues of money laundering issues. Are they looking into that? Are they going to make it available for third parties to be able to also accept credit cards? That's sort of what Safeway does.
Yeah, so just to repeat the question, if anyone didn't hear, is there ability for Facebook to become to allow for any third-party developer to become resellers? I think that was the initial intent that Facebook wanted to get to, and they realized pretty early on, we were one of the earliest partners to be able to start giving Facebook credits as a reward. There was a lot of issues in terms of managing many of these clients. It wasn't as easy as doing an Open Graph integration call because you're doing so much money transfer kind of through the process. So I think they've sort of backed off from it. My gut tells me that it's going to be more in the limited beta, and you'll need to be a part of like their preferred developer consultant, and they may give access to kind of that base. I don't see them making it completely open for any third-party developer just yet, but I think in the future, if they are planning on taking on the PayPals of the world, they'll probably need to do that. But I think they're just taking their time to get to there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
Okay, I just have two short questions. One, you said that the only way to convert Facebook credits to the purchase of actual physical goods is you actually have to convert the Facebook credit to a coupon, and then that coupon can in turn be used to buy a physical good if the margins allow?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. That's permissible today?
Yeah, it is. You are not allowed to use Facebook credits to sell physical goods today. Where it's optional in the other two areas, virtual and digital, you cannot buy directly physical goods with Facebook credits.
Okay, so you have to have that intermediary conversion, and that's permissible today?
Right.
Okay, and then my second question was, I was a little bit confused when you mentioned that 15 different states have had licenses filed for actually doing currency conversions or transactions with Facebook credits?
No, so Facebook essentially filed money transmitter licenses in 15 states, which, sorry, Dean.
So it's a money transmitter license?
Yeah, which basically allows them to be able to operate like a bank. So if any bank basically needs to do that legally across the U.S. in different states.
Right, and so Facebook's going to apply for those across all states and make sure that they're compliant in all countries and things like that. It's something that PayPal has to deal with, any money transfer service, and Google Wallet, anything like that. So Facebook's just becoming compliant in those areas.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hi. Looking at the differences between music and entertainment relative to social gaming and in terms of the margin structure, what type of payout or tax do you think Facebook would have to charge for it to make sense for them to cannibalize their off-Facebook channels, let's say iOS or whatever it is, or iTunes, to be able to buy songs directly on Facebook?
Can you?
Talking about Facebook changing its...
It's 30% to something lower, so
something
it makes
lower.
Sense for someone to buy a song using Facebook credits.
So... Sorry, I can
go ahead.
So I think with digital goods, like because Apple's already set the precedent on the song on the market, I would say that I don't think they need to switch for that. I think if they were to give more around tangible goods and goods essentially that are actually that are sold by like an online retailer as an example, you would need to that would need to lower down to like 2-3%. I mean, the lowest is like you know. The highest is Amex, and their interchange based on volume is like, you know, 2-point-something or even low threes.
Mm-hmm.
I think so they would need to be competitive in that space.
So on like the Spotify's and the Netflixes of the world, you don't think they would have to change their term structures in order to make it worth their while to do it through Facebook? You don't think that has to change at all?
No, I think that's a good point. I think they would probably need to because it's a recurring subscription model. Yeah. You're right.
Do you think that Facebook then, when Facebook implements a way to use credits on a subscription basis, there might be a way to take a lower percentage there?
Yeah, I think so. I think they would have to, and I think they can easily adjust it. I mean, it's not a.
So you think they could tier it or something?
Yeah, and there was a lot of issues actually when iOS came out with this as well. So I think that there's some precedent there. I'm not sure exactly what they did.
And to follow up with that second question, within social gaming, you see that the majority right now of Facebook credits is spent on social gaming, and if the majority of revenues from social gaming is on Zynga.
Yep.
So do you see people who are looking to partake in your program in particular, do you see them bypassing Facebook credits and saying, why don't we just go to Zynga, and especially now that Zynga's building their off-platform presence, why don't we just go to Zynga, have a lower tier structure where we're basically paying a lot less than we're paying 30% on Facebook, so Zynga could afford to charge less than Facebook is, and then people could just use that. So do you see the people doing that?
So I think there's a lot of if you actually look at Facebook and Zynga, their contractual agreement that they did for the Facebook credits, I think Facebook put a lot of provisions in there to ensure that they don't create a competitive marketplace, at least from a pricing standpoint. I'm not 100% sure exactly how that's going to play out. I think they're still sort of negotiating on the Zynga off-platform stuff. So I'm not, you know, I can 100% see the value that Zynga could provide to a game developer to say, hey, come build on my platform. But I do see that their dependency also on Facebook kind of mutually makes it so that I feel like in the contract there's probably some stipulation to ensure that Facebook is safe from you know having to compete head-to-head basically against Zynga.
Cool.
What's interesting right now is that Zynga's platform off of Facebook on Zynga.com, they are actually still using credits in a lot of places. And what's a challenge for them is trying to work out those developer agreements with others to come and build games on their platform as opposed to Facebook, and trying to work out that price structure. I know they've had a lot of trouble getting agreements with developers.
Yeah.
Just one other point from a movie industry and perhaps some of the other digital content. For the first time in history, movie studios have the opportunity to reach their fans directly. Prior to this, it's been through Netflix, it's through Amazon, it's through your brick-and-mortar theaters, but for the first time in history, through their own Facebook pages, they can touch and reach out to their fans directly. So they see the value of doing this above and beyond the pay-per-view transaction that they're getting. They can, you know, once they roll out a movie or a catalog of movies, they have more insight into their fan base than they've ever had before in history, and they love it. And so I think that's something above and beyond the transactional value, what is driving their push into the market.
Just a quick plug, by the way, if you guys want, we're giving out free Facebook credits, feel free to come over and I can give you one of our coupon codes.
Yeah, definitely come up and talk to us if you guys wish.
And then buy a movie with it.
Yeah, all those things. Plug, plug, plug.
That's a good call.
Thanks, guys. If we don't have any more questions, I'll let you guys wrap up and head out. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you. Thanks.